Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. Once again, we're here. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host, Coach Coop.
Good evening, everyone.
Coach Coop, I hope you had a productive week.
Coach, my week is always busy. You know, of course, we're gearing up for the opening of the season. Looking forward to that, getting players ready, getting psyched for that very first start of the opening season, the 2009 season of the WFL. Looking forward to it. We got some new teams in the league, and just ready to kick it off.
You got to be kidding me, Coop. You're talking about this Saturday, the 11th of April, 2009, kickoff 7 p.m. at Maryville High School. The Baltimore Nighthawk takes on the D.C. Divas.
Yes, 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 yes. It was a great game, a little warm-up. We had a fine tune-up with the Pink Ribbon Bowl. D.C. came down to Baltimore and put on a great show along with the Baltimore Nighthawks. And I think they're going to be pulling out all the stops this coming Saturday. And for real. Everything starts to count in the standings and go to that 8-game season, 10-game season, and who's going to end up on top. That's what we're looking forward to. That's why we're here.
That's a great thing there, Coach Coop. The start of the IWFL, an independent women football league, coming to a town near you. Tonight's show topic, Coach Coop, sticking to sports and finance, we're going to talk about salary caps through all major sports.
And I tell you, we talked about this, and we've been on this economic issue past couple shows, Coach, and I think we keep delving further and further into this subject. And it's a subject that needs to be discussed, especially during these economic times across the country. But, you know, just like anything else, sports always exist, even during wartime, World War II, when all the men went overseas to fight the big WWII. Sports continued, even with women going into male sports positions, going into baseball and other sports, keeping sports alive. And they did a very good job in that. And actually, they have a Hall of Fame section dedicated to women who participated during that era, who took the place of men in the sports arena. To keep America going, take their mind off the war, and so you know women have been involved in these things, and sports will be around, around and around and around through the worst of times and through the best of times.
You're absolutely correct there, Coach Coop. Let's indulge ourselves into tonight's topic. Salary caps, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing, Coach, through all major sports? Let's just start off with the NBA, Coach. The NBA has instituted a couple years ago the salary cap for rookies coming into the NBA, and I thought that was a great thing. What do you think about that?
Well, Coach, I think salary caps is a very necessary evil. I mean, we're in a society where, money's there to be made. We're a very open society. But I do think there needs to be some sense of responsibility on the part of the ownership to have a minimum salary. It's kind of hard. It's like me going to a job and asking McDonald's guy so I can get on a grill and burn a burger, and I've never touched a burger before. And I'm going to ask for $10 an hour, and I want a little fries on the side as a part of my bonus package. And he's never seen me do that. He's never seen me flip a burger, put a bun on it, put the special sauce on it. He has no idea whether even I have the mental capacity to do that. But I'm going to go in and ask for, $15, $20 an hour to do that.
Well, I mean, sticking to the topic, Coach, you're absolutely correct. It seemed like the only place that you can walk in the door and demand a higher salary than people that's already there is the sports world. Because, like you said, I mean, you can't go into an average profession and walk in the door without any experience, without any positive feedback for doing a job and say, I want top salary.
That's correct. You can't do it. And to think, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean the money's there to be made because we talked about this. Revenues are coming in all from all different markets. But to come in untested, untried – to an arena and to be paid such outrageous salaries. And I said it to you before that there should be a cap. There should be some reasonable salary to that player to start out. And then once he demonstrates he performs at a high level, then we start making adjustments. But that initial outlay of money needs to be at a minimum level. That's my thing.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Coach. And the thing I want to bring up tonight, like I said, we're going to dive deep into this topic, Coach. The thing I want to bring up tonight is, you know, how many gems you get coming into professional sports compared to how many busts. You know what I'm asking you, Coach? I'm about to say, for every Peyton Manning that we find, I think we'll find two or three Philip Rivers. Or we find a quarterback on the horizon with so much promise coming into the NFL, and then they take a nosedive, Coach. I mean, let's face it, it's not but so many Brady's and Mannings and Ben Roethlisbergers Coach, Drew Brees is a good quarterback, but I mean, you're really hard pressed to find a decent quarterback. But they come in the league, and if they draft a number one, you're talking about anywhere between $30 to $34 million guaranteed, Coach, without ever snapping the ball in the professional ranks.
And that's outrageous, Coach. It really is outrageous. I mean, like I said, the process should be a minimum process. And if you're able to weather that first year or that first or second year contract, you're able to weather the storm. And mind you now, because a lot of instances, you don't even get a chance to play that first year. You're sitting in the back, you're learning the game and whatnot. So a lot of these guys are getting this big money to sit there in tutelage under somebody else for maybe 1 or 2 years. It's that rare occasion where you have rookies thrown into the limelight, and usually that could be a bust. I mean, we've seen that around the league with various NFL players that have started. They started them, and the only experience they've got is college, and they get a little preseason stuff, and then next thing you know, they're thrown to the wolves. And then, you know, if they have a very poor season, you know, you may end up with damaged goods.
You know who comes to mind, Coach, when I think about that? Being from Baltimore, a Baltimore quarterback comes to mind. Who would that be in recent years that they thought he was the promise of the Baltimore Ravens franchise, and they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and finally realized that he was a bust, Coach? I mean, you know, and they had to go out here and they got this guy, Joe Flacco, who they didn't give a lot of money to, and he seemed to be the real deal.
That's it. And that's very true. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. You know, you get these players that come out that, like I said, it's untested and untried, and you put, you know, they're in a, on the sidelines with a clipboard, learning the system, learning the plays, and they're making outrageous money. I mean, there should, and that's where the minimum salary should come into play.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, like I said, Coach, I mean, he renewed his contract. I mean, Kyle Bowler for the Baltimore Ravens, he actually renewed his contract, Coach. He started off with millions of dollars guaranteed. They said he can throw the ball 50 yards from his knees, Coach. But the question was, could he hit the side of a barn?
That's where he was most of the time, Coach, on his knees. Most of his career.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And I just couldn't understand how Baltimore kept paying him all that money. And to me, he was a third-string NFL quarterback at best.
That's true. But, you know, but that was the leadership. And I don't know if that was marching orders from upstairs down to Brian Billick at the time. And if you look at Brian Billick's history, he's had over, 10, 11 quarterbacks come through him.
That's correct.
And that's outrageous. I mean, and think about the money that's been paid. I mean, there's salaries upon salaries paid to these individuals. Now, a lot of those weren't the drafted individuals. A lot of those are free agents or people that came over later. But Kyle Bowler, as you mentioned, we gave him all that money, and it was a total bust. Still is, still will, always will be.
And like I said, the good example in the hometown, I mean, look at the rounds that they took the new quarterback in, Coach, Flacco from Delaware State. I mean, from Delaware, I'm sorry. And they took him in the later rounds, Coach, not expecting him. They was hoping that he was a good project. And look at him. He turned out to be an excellent choice. And he's not getting paid a lot of money, but I guarantee his next contract will be up there. And, well, it should. He earned the right to demand more money. Not coming in demanding the money. He earned the right to demand more money later after performing, and then you can believe in them, and that's where they should put their money.
And guess who's sitting beside him, Coach, in the wings waiting? He's only had a couple of snaps. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, and he got picked up by Baltimore, which was a steal. And you know he got a good contract.
Yes,
that's
Troy Smith.
Troy Smith.
You're absolutely correct.
And where? How many times have we seen him?
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And this is what I'm saying. And let's go back to the NBA. The NBA has a salary cap. When a rookie enters the league, they can't be paid no more than $3 million, Coach, for the first couple of years.
Uh-huh.
I think that's an excellent – I mean, take, for instance, LeBron James.
Right.
Phenom from high school, straight into the NBA, one of the best NBA players of the day's time. And, well, he should make millions, but the question is – how did they know LeBron James was going to be LeBron James? And to have the salary cap, what they did was put it in place so even LeBron James couldn't make millions of dollars the first couple of years. But I tell you what, I would like to be his agent when he renewed his contract, Coach.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be there. But that's when the salary cap also comes into play. Do you sit there and pour all your money into one player? We all know that one player doesn't win a championship for you.
That's correct.
So somebody's going to have to get cut. Somebody's going to have to restructure their deal. I mean, at what point do you basically throw everybody else under the bus so you can keep this one player?
You're absolutely correct, Coach. But if I had to take one player today, it would be LeBron James in the NBA.
Well, look at that. I mean, they said the same thing about Iverson. They thought Iverson was a great, you know, second coming in Philadelphia. But one player, Coach, does not win a championship.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I mean, because you take that fine example of Michael Jordan when he first came in the league. He was an absolute baller, Coach. He was a phenom. He was a PTP, baby, as they say. But he realized, being in the league that many years, that he couldn't do it on his own. So they went out and got Scottie Pippen and started putting Cartwright and some of the B.J., some of the other players around him, Paxton, to get that championship. And you're right, Coach.
Right. But the mentality of those players, Coach, they knew what type of players they were. They knew they were not star players.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they had supported roles.
That's
and
true.
They were comfortable with that. Though, even take Scottie Pippen. He's the back door of Michael Jordan.
That's true.
And even when he went out on his own, once he left, there was nothing there. But he understood at that time to make them successful, and he bit his lip. He was a very supportive role, and the Chicago Bulls were able to structure salaries to keep everybody there. And because you didn't have that one player like Paxton, you know good and well he wasn't going to get a $50 million contract. He was happy with what he was making and the role that he was doing because they were winning championships, and that's a rarity in most teams today.
And you're absolutely correct, Coach, and this is what we're talking about. Let me ask you this very poignant question, Coach. Could a policeman, blue-collar professional, save lives, here to protect and serve the community in which they live, walk in the door of the police department and tell the police chief he wants to earn $275,000 and never patrolled the streets in which he lived?
Well, Coach, if he was Bubba down in South Carolina, he could walk into his Uncle Tom and get that salary. But to answer your question, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And even if those salaries, we see that all across the country. I mean, even with the fire department, salaries are up and down. It depends on where you are. Small market, big market, salaries vary. And for somebody to walk off the street, and we know, I mean, that job is a very it's an intense job. It's a highly demanding, very dangerous job. And they're not even making close to that. I mean, you're talking most, I would imagine they're making $50,000, $60,000 a year to put their life on the line. And these guys are making millions and millions of dollars playing sports. And only for, 2 hours a day?
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And this is what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out at what point do you put a salary cap on rookie players coming into professional sports. But, you know, Coach, just like we always do, we got to play devil's advocate.
That's right.
We have to, Coach. And let me ask you this. What have you did institute a salary cap in these major sports, how much would the owners actually keep in pocketed, Coach, off of these major stars?
Well, this is the thing, Coach. This is what I think. I think as an owner, I'd have some sense of responsibility because my books would pretty much be over. Yes, as I said to you before, if we lower those salaries to a point, especially with the rookies coming in, you would be able to reduce some of your overall costs so that your families would come and fill those empty seats and eat those hot dogs and the sodas and the beers and what have you that would supplement the other income, which would bring income in. That would stop me from just padding my pockets because I think there would be a little more openness as to what I'm doing with my franchise and as to trying to give back to the people so that the families can come. There would be some onus on me for me to share those figures with people. But here's the problem, as an owner, at some point I want to be competitive. And at some point I need to bring in top talent. Because if I don't bring in top talent, Coach, and when that guy doesn't come in and I don't give him, let's say even if his second year, revenue is going to have to go up because I need to pay him for his talent, especially if he's demonstrated that. And once I've done that, once I've paid him that kind of money, then I've got to pass that on to my fam. Ticket prices got to go up, and at some point in the time, that person, like we said, may become a LeBron James, but at some point, then I got to start looking at my other players that are on the team. And with that comes, when I start doing that, let me just say this. Let's say I'm in a small market, and I just can't afford it. I just can't afford to do this guy becomes a LeBron James, and I sign him his rookie year, minimum salary, and then there's a larger market, say New York, that may want to pay him more money. Now, I either have to sacrifice and pay him more money and then sacrifice the rest of the other players on the team. And now the question would be whether or not people will come out and see him play and will they fill the seat. But one player doesn't win championships, and then I'm going to be stuck with a losing season, losing revenue, and then that's going to fall off.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Coach. It's a spinoff and trade-off of anything you really decide, and that's why we got to play both sides of the fence here and try to debate this thing equally. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or just want to give us your opinion, you can call us here at area code 347-826-7278 to join us in on the discussion of salary caps. Should we institute salary caps across the board, or should we just not? One thing I want to bring up, Coach, that we overlooked earlier was the fact that the game this Saturday will be broadcasted live on www.ussportsradio.com. The game against the Baltimore Nighthawks and D.C. Divas will be broadcast live, Coach, on www.ussportsradio.com. I bet you didn't know that, Coach.
No, Coach, but I know one thing. They're going to mic you up because they don't want to hear what I'm going to say.
Well, one thing for sure, Coach, I don't think they're going to have too many mics close to the field because you can be quite radical at times.
That's the spirit of the game, Coach. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's good news, but that also says one thing that we talked about earlier. And I think that's along the lines of what the WFL is trying to do is promote the league. And here's another way to do that. And I think as long as we continue to do this, this great sport for women's football will increase. And I said it before and I've said it again, you know, as long as they keep doing things like that, my hat's off to them.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And let's get back to the topic of discussion tonight. And I got another question for you, Coach. If you continue to let these sports players coming in that's unproven make these outrageous salaries, because you know we're coming up on 2010, I think it's the bargaining year for the Players Association in the NFL, and if they don't institute a salary cap, Coach, I mean, these college students can come in making as much as $40 million guaranteed money. What do you think about that?
I think it's outrageous, Coach. Absolutely outrageous. But then again, you know, as I said, the people, you know, as fans, You know, we look around us and everything is going on, but we will still buy those tickets to support those teams in that endeavor. And as a fan, if we stop doing that, I think the owners would have to rethink some things, because there's no way that you can sit there and pay. I mean, I know why it's being done, but to realistically pay someone that kind of money that's untested, unproven, is outrageous, and especially for the first year, for that person just to sit on the bench and not even perform. You know, it's just outrageous.
I got another point of view for you, Coach. This is the thing that I think is so outrageous. You have a proven veteran like a Torrey Holt, a Rodney Harrison, a Marvin Harrison, and yet and still, they're still on the free agent market. We're talking about a Hall of Famer, Coach. Hall of Famer and Marvin Harrison, still on the free agent market, but yet and still, the NFL wants to go out and get a rookie who's unproven and pay big money to, when they won't even sign proven veterans. And I'm having a hard time understanding that, Coach.
Coach, it's the day and age of what's hot, what's the newest thing out, and the newest thing out is these new players. They come from these big-name schools. They've been seen in bowls, and people want to see them play. They're younger, they're faster, they're stronger. These players that are free agents, you know, they've been around the league a number of years, and people want to see some new things. They want to see, especially those players who've left teams with some form of controversy that may be a cancer in the locker room. They don't. Owners don't want to bring that into their camp. And here's a new kid that brings all the talent, speed, and you can kind of more or less mold them. You know, when you got those old dogs, you know what they say, you know, old cats. It's hard to change the stripes. Once they've established themselves, then, you know, there's no changing it. But with the new kids coming in, you can mold them to whatever you want. Especially, you know, they're not going to balk at the system. You know, they signed a contract. They got money coming in. Because we didn't pay them in college. They got money coming in. They can do the things they want. And to a degree, most of them, 98% of them, are going to do what you ask them to do.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. But they're going to do what you ask them to do. But, the hard time I'm having the problem with, Coach, is why not pay a Marvin Harrison $14 million who's proven – veteran player, Torrey Holt, proven veteran player who could come in and you absolutely know they will help you this year. Not next year, Coach, this year.
Salary cap, Coach. Salary cap, no room for them. And a lot of teams are faced with that. They are faced with the fact that, you know, there's only a certain amount of room they have with salaries as far as giving bonuses and all these things. Because if they do something like that, of course, I think some of these teams, these franchises, have penalties once you go above that. There are penalties for going above the cap. And teams can't afford that. You don't get stuck with that kind of situation. So, you know, that $14 million may send you over. And then again, you don't want to get into a long-term contract with that individual. You know, 5 years, you know, you sign him a 5-year contract, 3-year contract. And then, like I said, he's on his decline of his career.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. He's on a decline, but you still, with some players, you know you have 2 to 3 good years out of them. You know, Torrey Holt is just turned 30 or somewhere about. So you got another 3 to 4 good years out of Torrey Holt. Where this rookie comes in unproven, you might not have 1 good year out of him.
Well, that's true, Coach. But listen, salary caps, you know, are there. I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing in the sense when we talk about rookies and coming in minimum salaries. I think it's a bad thing when you start paying for players that want a decline of their career, and which is going to eventually, you know, I'm all about the fan. I'm all about the fan saving money for the fan. But when you bring $14 million and you sign somebody for 2-3 years, you know, especially if you're in a small market team and you're not winning, and, of course, you know, some of your money's in, you know, small market, you know, you get an opportunity to get the first pick in the draft, and if you get the first pick in the draft, it means you got to come out your pocket in order to attract that player to come to your team for a signing bonus because you may lose them. And once you do that, You know, the rollover is I got to start increasing sales. I got to start increasing popcorn, peanuts, all that stuff to make up that salary because it's the fans that have to pay that cost.
You're absolutely right, Coach, but I have another question for you. At some point, don't your franchise, as you mentioned, want to win the championship in any sport?
No question.
I mean, it's only, let's think about it. It's 43 Super Bowls in the NFL that's taking place. And you have multiple teams with more than one or two Super Bowls. You have the Pittsburgh Steelers, loving the death, Coach.
I knew you were going to say that.
Six Super Bowls. You have the Dallas Cowboys, five Super Bowls. You have the San Francisco 49ers, five Super Bowls. You have the Oakland Raiders, three Super Bowls.
There you go.
You have the Washington Redskins, three Super Bowls.
There you go.
You notice the pattern here, Coach? I'm mentioning the same teams with multiple Super Bowls, and you have 32 teams in the league.
No question. And again, and this is what I think is a part of the problem. You know, I mean, salary caps can bring about parity among teams, but there has to be some revenue sharing that we talked about before. On the national level, for media and everything else, maybe even merchandising. But there again, when that first-year player comes out, if I'm in a small market, Coach, and I've not been to the Super Bowl and I've been to the championships and my season sucks every year, I've got to come out of my pocket to attract that player to come to me. And again, I need to attract two or three other players in order for them to make some kind of run at the championship. And if I'm in a small market, that money's not there. And it's because I'm already losing people not coming to my game. The seats are empty. And now I've got to put out more money. And just think, if that's a bust the first year because I'm paying money to a player that's untested and it's a bust, then I'm not putting you to sleep. Don't yawn on me, Coach. I know when I start talking money, you're trying to try fall off.
No, Coach.
But when I start doing that, when I start showing them that kind of money, if I'm unsuccessful, then I'm really in a quagmire because I've got this high-marketed player. I spent a lot of money for him. I maybe picked up a couple other players to play along with him I put money out for. I'm already in a losing franchise, and if that doesn't work, I'm passing all that on to the fans. And you know, eventually, you know, fans are going to say, hey, let me go pick up another team. Let me pick up a Washington. Let me start following Dallas. And my merchandise and all this stuff, it just snowballed. Now I need to move my franchise.
Well, part of the reason, Coach, like I said, playing devil's advocate, is because you won't get some of the players to make you successful. Because, as we know, you got to spend a little to get a little, Coach. And that's the way business goes. All I'm saying to you is this is how big deals are made, Coach. You got to go out and get a franchise player and may have to pay him a little bit if you want to win in franchise at some point. Because what I'm saying to you, undoubtedly, Coach, there are numerous teams in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, who have never been to a championship. And if they did go to a championship, they never won a championship. So at some point, it has to be more than just business, Coach. It has to be the love of the sport that you reside in, trying to make a difference and get to the pinnacle, which is the top, the championship. They should all try to get there at some point.
But let's face it, coaches. These owners are in the business to make money. Bottom line. That's the bottom line. They're in the business to make money. And they'll do whatever they need to do that. There's no more, that one player that stays with the team throughout his career. I mean, Ray Lewis just signed, and that's a good thing for Baltimore. I mean, because he's a very pivotal player in the team, a very emotional player. And a lot of times when the Ravens were a team that didn't have the talent, they fed off their emotion, which got them lifted to play better. But that's a rarity. You don't see that. You talk about the Marvin Harrises. You know, teams are trying to rebuild. And when you've got that kind of following and he's out there in a free market, does it hurt the fan base? Most certainly does. Most certainly does. So, you know, it's not – if you have a favorite player and he's been with the team for year after year and he decides to leave, you know, what does that do to the fan? I mean, the owner's not concerned about that. The owner's about money. How many seats can I fill? How many corporate boxes can I sell to get people to get there? That's the bottom line. And look at George Steinbrenner. That story's in the baseball end. You know, there's a number one. There's a number one with the highest salary cap out of all baseball teams. You know, they have the highest salary cap among baseball, even revenue. But it's a large market, and that's all he's concerned about. You see it every year. He just got CC Sabathia, you know, top baseball pitcher. Just came to Baltimore and got his butt blown away by the Orioles the other night. But, you know, there's a lot of money. Now, he's a proven and tested player, but, you know, that's what he does. Now, and I think the fans of New York, they appreciate that because they do try and put a winner on the team. But with all that talent, look at that. With all that talent they had, they didn't even make it to the championship. They haven't been to the championship in the past couple of years. They got rid of a very pivotal coach in Joe Torre and went out to the L.A. Dodgers, and the very first year took them to the playoffs, Coach. So, you know, chemistry is very important, but the owners are worried about salary. They're worried about filling their pockets no matter what. That's the bottom line. They're not worried about what the fans have an affection for, who they have an affection to.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Unfortunately, or unfortunately, we're at the segment of the show where we're going to pay tribute to all our sponsors out there, Coach.
Oh, it's that time, Coach.
It's that time.
Man, I tell you, you look, matter of fact, like you're wearing one of those Slovenia wear T-shirts there, Coach. You think I noticed that. Look kind of good on you. Look a little tight, but it looks kind of good on you. And if you want a Slovenia wear that actually fits, other than like Coach, go down to White Marsh, Maryland, and go down to Slovenia wear for your sports wear and sports apparel. Also, you know, Coach, you know that Slovenia wear does fit you kind of tight, so I would suggest that you trek on down to Velocity Sports Performance and shed a few pounds, so thereby you can become a well-oiled fighting machine.
Yes.
Nothing like it.
Yes.
1427 Clarksville Road, Mount Washington. Go down to the Velocity Sports Performance. Mention our names, the Baltimore Nighthawks. And you heard it here on Nighthawks Radio. And maybe I have some great special deals and other promotions for you. And as always, when you want that nice cup of coffee, you're tired of that downtown traffic.
Peace! And a cup of joke.
Even a cup of joke. I tell you, I told you I went down there and I had a cup of coffee. Hell, matter of fact, I don't think I left the place till 11 o'clock. The man was, you know, trying to put me out. I was like, hey, you said in the commercials, you know, just stop in and relax. But he said, yeah, but don't make a home here. But stop down, Peace and Cup of Joe, 713 West Pratt Street for a great cup of coffee and a place to relax. And if you want to buy a coffee by the cup or by the pound, there's only one place to go. At Zeke's Coffee, sell a whole, not half, whole coffee beans.
Not Zeke.
That's Zeke. You can get Zeke by the pound, by the cup, at Waverly Farmers Market, Eddie's Market, and Charles Village, and a host of other places. You can go to their website at www.zekescoffee.com.
Zeke!
And as always, those who are looking to sponsor the Nighthawks franchise or the players or looking for season tickets, you can go to T. Bryant 71 at gmail.com for some great sponsorship packets, or you can go to brownpapertickets.com for tickets to all our games. And as always, go to IWFL Sports for information on all the games around the league.
Coach, guess what's coming up Saturday at 7 p.m.? It's back. You know what I mean, Coach? It's back once again. April 11th, 7 p.m., we're going to be battling the D.C. Divas, the season opener. Coach, how do you feel about the game?
Well, Coach, I feel pretty good about the game. The ladies put a great job doing the scrimmage, and like I said, we didn't pull out all the stops, and I'm sure D.C. didn't either. And it should be a very good game. It's got that Beltway rivalry taste to it. And I think we got them a couple times this year. So, they got us last year, but, you know, it was a very close game. I mean, our team was able to come back second half, and they didn't do too much there, and it was a second half team. But I think we got a little different team this year, a little different makeup, and we got to pull out some stops, all the stops, and I think they'll be very surprised with us this year.
I think they will be surprised, Coach. I'm looking so forward to the game on Saturday. We're going to have an excellent time Oh, man, it's just the first game jitters, Coach. I mean, I just feel it. I feel it. We're 2 days away. Because remember, football is not played the day of the game. It's prepared weeks before, Coach, and I'm in that mood right now. And just want to say that again, that the Baltimore Nighthawks and the D.C. Divas will be live on www.ussportsradio.com. It's going to be announced by Nate Lewis, the famous announcer for ussportsradio.com, Coach.
Sounds good. He's got a great voice. He's great commentary, great color man. And it should be very exciting. I'll be looking to hear that, looking forward to that broadcast, to rehear the broadcast, and I'll be looking forward to that.
I know I'm going to be looking forward to it, Coach. I think we're going to have not great football weather for the fans, but great football weather for the players, Coach, because we're looking for a high of about 47 degrees on Saturday, partly cloudy, and a chance of rain, and I think it's like 65% chance of rain, Coach.
But what does one of the players say, Coach, on our team always say, that's football, bleep.
You're absolutely correct about that. Like I said, might not be too good for the fans, but I know our fans will be there to support us. We had over 200-300 fans to come out and support us in the first annual Pink Ribbon Bowl, the Cure for Coma Breast Cancer Awareness, back on the 21st, Coach. And 200-300 fans in the preseason game is not a bad ticket to buy, Coach.
Not a bad thing at all, Coach, and it just goes to show you that people are still engaged in for a worthy cause, and they've got it. Some of them came out, had their very first taste of women's football, and I tell you, they came out after the games, and then they're looking up the owner and looking for how to get season tickets, and I was really shocked. I was happy to see that, and I just think that when you see something, when you don't know about something, you got to go see it. And you develop a fan base from the very beginning, from the first time seeing something. It says a lot about the league. It says a lot about the women that are playing this game, and it says a lot about the quality of the game that was played.
Yeah, Coach, I'm sitting here looking on the chat line, and one of our listeners said it's going to be 80 degrees in Louisiana.
80 degrees in Louisiana. They want us to come down there and play?
I play in the Superdome, Coach. Trust me.
It's going to be exciting. But, getting back to our topic before we close this segment out, Coach, I mean, I really think over the overall scheme of things, and we're not going to belabor the point on this, because I know there's a lot of things we want to touch upon. And, the salaries of players are outrageous. And we keep saying this, and I've said it a thousand times before, that if players have a minimum salary, because we want people to enjoy the game. We want families to enjoy the game, especially during these economic times. Families, there's very little things that families can do together now. And as I said before, as I mentioned earlier, sports have been around through, the roughest times, during war times and other adversities around that we've been faced with. And sports has always been there. But don't you want to have it so that families can come out and enjoy the game? That's what you want. You want it to be able to, a kid can bring something memorable back, a souvenir, to have some quality food and those kind of things. And it just irritates me to an end. Don't get me wrong. This is a society where you should be able to make as much as you want. But again, where are you going to go and make that kind of money and never been tested and tried gotten any kind of degree, even those with degrees in the work world today, they are not making that kind of money, and the players are making this outrageous amount of money. Hats off to them, but it's but let me just say this too. Digress a little bit. There are some players, Coach, that take this money and actually start charities and foundations. So
yes, they do.
So I have to give my hat off to this. Not all the players that take that money and run with it and say, I need $25 million more to feed my family.
Yes.
And because you can't eat steak every night, and even if you did, you're not going to live long. eat steak and shrimp every night for so much.
You're right about that, Coach.
But for the salaries to be reasonable so that the families can actually come out and participate and have a great time and enjoy the game and want to come back and keep the seats filled. And I think if the owners wise up and get it, and actually get it, I mean, there's enough money to go around. you're playing a sport that lasts 2 hours. You know, the average family man is going to work 12 hours a day. I just don't get it.
You're absolutely right, Coach. You're absolutely right. And we're going to get to our topic of the day of current news and sporting events. Coach, we got a lot happening around the sports world, starting with your favorite.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's the Masters time, Coach, down in Augusta, Georgia. The Masters has kicked off, and as expected, Tiger is not out to a bad start, Coach, but he's out to a relatively slow start that he's accustomed to starting the Masters with.
He is, and actually he's healing. He's healing, and he made a comment the other day that he's starting to hit the shots that his trainer has been, trying to work him toward. And when Tiger says that, you better look out. If he's starting to hit something that his trainer's been trying to get him to do for years, and he's doing it, look out.
You ain't lying about that, Coach. We're just days away from the NFL draft, Coach. I mean, everybody's looking forward to the NFL draft, and we're just days away from it. And I got a question for you, Coach. Who do you think the overall number one pick is going to be? Everybody said it's going to be Matt Stafford, or could it be Michael Crabtree, or could it be a surprise, the defensive end for Texas? Coach, he might sneak up in there, because I remember years ago everybody thought Reggie Bush was going to go number one, and he didn't. The Texas picked what's the guy name? The defensive end for the Texans. They picked him up over top of Reggie Bush. Names are eluding me right now, Coach, but it'll come to me. But do you think it's going to be Matt Stafford, or do you think it's going to be Michael Crabtree, or do you think we're going to get a sneak surprise up in there?
I think there's going to be a surprise in there, Coach. I think you might even see a sleeper. You might even see Mark Sanchez come up in there. But I think there's a. I don't think the sports writers and the people who follow this have their pulse on it. I think there's going to be a surprise out there. Michael Crabtree, you know, I get tired of seeing him going down the hospital on the ESPN with him in that wheelchair. I mean, if I saw that every day, I wouldn't be giving him a lot of money, because I just, you just don't know. I mean, you could get out there and tweak something, and he's done again. And for me to sign him, give him a $50 million signing bonus, again, untested, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you got that great kid out of USC, Coach. That has an excellent pro day. What's the linebacker out of USC?
His name eludes me right now, because my mind is somewhere.
Yeah, Coach, come on. He got 15 commercials on right now.
Who is that? I'm trying to think who that is. Coach, it just kind of just throw me off here. I know I sat there and watched this. Matter of fact, it's USC, which is, linebacker U. They had a number of people out there on their pro day, and it was like four or five linebackers out there that day. And I'll tell you, I was really
Brian Cushing, Coach. He's projected to go number one from USC, the linebacker. They've been following him around for the last 2 months, Coach. And they say he's a phenom. They're looking at him like a what's the guy out of Chicago? A Brian Urlacher.
Well, I tell you, I like that guy, Aaron Curry, out of Wake Forest. I was really impressed with him, and of course, Andre Smith, out the offensive tackle from Alabama. I really like those two guys, and I think there's going to be some head turn on draft day.
Oh, yes, and the defensive lineman that I was trying to think out of Texas, Arakpo, Coach, you remember him?
I can't even pronounce his name, Coach. I don't even think you remember.
he's coming out of Texas, the University of Texas, high draft choice, Coach. And I think he can sneak up in there, number one.
Well, like I said, my money's on, Michael. I'm sorry, Aaron Curry.
Yeah.
And Andre Smith. I think those two guys will be the ones sneaking up there. Quarterbacks are dime a dozen. You know how I feel about quarterbacks. I'm a defensive kind of guy, and quarterbacks don't mean anything to me.
Yeah, Coach. Speaking of sports. I'm looking at the chat line again, and, you know, Sports Geek is on the chat line, and he's really hooping and hollering for the Bears, Coach. And only thing I can say to you, Sports Geek, is this. The Bears made a great, great off-season acquisition, and that got to go down as one of the best trades in NFL history.
Well, you know, the Bears, as we said with Sports Geek last week, and he's a true fan. You know, he's not one of these guys that, you know, just picks up a team. He's a true bear, and he likes hanging out in that Soldier Field and the cold. And, I mean,
yeah.
You know, but he's still got to buy some more sports paraphernalia, Coach. When I talked to him last week, he didn't have enough sports paraphernalia, Coach. And you know, to be a true fan, you got to have the whole den. Because I see the Bears live in a den, Coach. You know, they like all the things surrounded for them. They hibernate when there's no football season.
Right.
They don't talk about anything. You know, that's why I'm surprised that the Sports Geek is out. But we're talking football, and that's why we out. We brought him out from the den, Coach, to talk football because he's a true Bear fan, and he's going to be with us throughout the season all the way over to the road to the NFL.
And you're absolutely correct. But like I said, shout out to you, Sports Geek. Cutler is a great acquisition for the offseason. In his prime, third-year Pro Bowl quarterback, and you got to give kudos to the GM up there in Chicago because they went after their man. Unlike the Denver Broncos, they went after their man, and they got rid of Jay Cutler, and they have no man. So I guess it was a great season, off-season acquisition for the Bears.
Coach? Did you hear about Michael Vick's toy dog stuff coming out?
What?
They got a Florida attorney coming out who's going to sue regarding Michael Vick's dog toy. I tell you, we'll make money off of anything, won't we?
Yeah, that's crazy right there, Coach.
Yeah, they're saying the dog runs about $29.99. And you can do all kinds of things to it. You know, you can make it fight other dogs. You can set it on fire.
I just got a question. And when is this dog supposed to come out, Coach?
Well, that's right now it's being litigated, so it may not even come out. But they're talking about it might cost around $29.99. But actually, it was taken off the market back in March, Coach. It was on a local website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with that. I'm just appalled that they would even try to capitalize off a tragic incident like the Mike Vick story, Coach.
It's America, Coach. That's what they do.
And I guess you ain't lying about that. It's the home of the free and the land of the brave. So I guess you got to be brave to come out with a dog like that.
Hey, Coach, there's your man back in the news again.
T.O.
You know what he was late for, right? OTAs. He's starting already.
Oh, yeah? He finally reported with his team, huh, Coach?
He finally showed, you know, a few weeks late. And he's, well, you know, he's wondering what everything, why everybody upset about that. Practice!
Yeah, speaking practice. Of practice, Allen Iverson is on the bubble, Coach. The big Detroit star started off with the 76ers, made his name, household name. AI went down there to the Denver Nuggets. Then he got traded over to the Detroit Pistons. And he's been on the bench the last couple of weeks, and he's kind of pissed off about that, Coach.
Duh. Wow. What does he think, Coach? What does he really think?
He only been in the league 100 years, Coach.
Oh, he probably said the wrong thing. He probably said, practice. And that's where he sat him, right on the bench. And there again, millions and millions of dollars to sit on the bench, and fans are paying the price.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Coach, because Detroit is on the bubble of making the playoffs this year, Coach. They might not make the playoffs.
That's very true, Coach. And might not. They might not even win a game, Coach.
Yeah, they might lose the last three games of the season, but it's imperative for them to put up a good fight for them to even make the playoffs, Coach.
That's true. And but, you know, the playoffs will be coming up, and there's another moneymaker, and you'll see it. And matter of fact, we talk about basketball. Along the basketball end, people were saying, I think I read a couple of places where they said this past year's Final Four was one of the worst rated games ever.
This past year's Final Four?
This past year's Final Four, Coach. As a matter of fact, when I watched the final game, I was really surprised. Because when I was sitting there looking at
the blowout, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it was a blowout. When Michigan State came out, I thought it was a bunch of high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at the group, I'm saying, you know, but my hat's off to them, though. I mean, because they took down a 15, they took down a 7, they took down 3 number one seeds, and they made it to the big dance. And I think it was just finally they just ran its course. My hat's off to them for a great season, but, I mean, they look like a bunch of young boys out there playing against North Carolina.
Well, Coach, like you said, you can't have it all, Coach. And all I can say to that is North Carolina proved why they're number one, going through the whole entire tournament, Coach, and beating every team by double-digit numbers.
That's very true. And I think the matter of fact, I think the President of the United States had them as their number one pick.
Barack?
Yeah.
Say Barack?
He had the number one pick, so sounds really surprised.
Yes, he did. And I think he got into a little bit of controversy there with Coach K of Duke. Because Coach K of Duke, if I'm not mistaken, told that he needs to stick to politics.
Well, who knows? I mean, because it could be things on the horizon. With not saying picking a basketball game will help turn the tide of what's going on with the United States, but, hey, it's a plus in his face.
Hey, you ain't lying there, Coach.
Did you happen to see, we were talking about going back to golf, did you see, remember the Shark? Remember who the Shark is?
The Shark, Norman?
Shark, Norman, that's
it. Yeah, yeah.
Hole in one.
Oh, wow.
Hole in one.
Oh, wow, he's still out there doing it, huh, Coach?
He's still out there. He's 50 years old, and he should be in the senior tour, but he is still playing and still trying to get a run for the money now. Unfortunately, they say where they were playing, unfortunately, it has some kind of curse to it, and those people who generally participate in that tournament generally seem to fall off competition-wise.
Really? Really? So you said that the Shark is 84 years old? I didn't hear you.
No, I didn't say he was 84. No, but he's been around. I mean, actually, you know, before Tiger came along, you know, I used to kind of watch the Shark. He was kind of a flamboyant kind of a guy. And, you know, I don't watch sports really because, I couldn't understand why they were whispering. And I had my TV turned up like you would think they were standing right over the guy's shoulder when he was putting.
Right.
So I just never really got into golf. And, of course, I know there's some golf enthusiasts out there, and I guess I've never played a game. And eventually, you know, when I finished playing sport, you know, looking at football or coaching football, I'll probably pick up the game. Not, but I know it's out there. A lot of people play it, and it's a great venue to get out and enjoy some fresh air. But I'm not ready for it.
I dig that, Coach. I tell you, the sports world is really hot right now. And did you hear about the controversy down in Big D this week? Big Dallas. Troy Aikman spoke out against Roy Williams.
No, didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. He spoke out against Roy Williams, and he said that if Roy Williams don't perform up to his potential as Dallas expects him to, that it will be the biggest bust trade in NFL history.
Ooh.
And Roy Williams spoke back and said that he was used to being number one. He don't see what the big deal is.
Well, you know, with salaries and monies and egos, you're going to have that kind of comp. You're going to have that throughout the league, and that's why it's difficult. When you sit there, when you talk about chemistry and how important it is to have people that are role players, but when you have stars upon stars upon stars, you're going to have controversy upon controversy upon controversy.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. But like I said, I mean, you know what they say, controversy sells tickets.
That's true.
You know, the only thing that intrigues people is to go against the grain.
Why would you do that? You're a star. Let me ask you this, Coach. We talked about salaries early in the previous segment. I know I always want to go back and touch on that again. You as a rookie player coming out, would you, in terms of what's happening today, I'm a low market seed company or team, and I'm going to offer you signing bonus of $5 million. Maybe a large market team may offer you $3 million to come and play for them. You think you're a very hot shot player, very talented player. Where would your sights be set, Coach?
Would I take the $5 million or $3 million?
Would you go to a smaller market or would you go to that larger market?
Well, first of all, Coach, I've been there, done that. Played in a situation where people basically didn't have the love for the game like I did, Coach. So, you know, I mean, I'm one of the kind of what they call throwback players. You know, I would love to tell you I would do it all for the money, Coach, but knowing my heart, I couldn't do it all for the money. I have to do it for the love of the game. So my market would be wherever the team has official love for the game and want to truly succeed and see us win as a team, Coach. And if that means take a pay cut, then that's what I would do to survive on a team like that. Then being on an opposing team that's only there strictly for revenue.
That sounds admirable, Coach, but I don't believe you. I've seen you eating. I've seen the clothes you wear. I see the cars you drive. And I know that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes, Coach. Like I tell you, it is what it is, Coach. And like I said, I've been there before.
Well, you know, coaches, that's what's it. I mean, we talked about this in the previous show, that the kids are not making the money, you know, not receiving the revenue at the college level, maybe putting an offset for them. We came up with a couple ideas last show, something that, you know, colleges can do. And I heard an interesting thing the other day when they were talking about the NCAA, and there's over 400,000, you know, athletes involved in that program. And just think about the money that's coming in. And here's a player, you know, you went through that, you got a great scholarship, and here's your opportunity to make some great money. And I can't knock you for that, but I think if that carrot is not there by the owner, that if it's placed out where it's a reasonable salary cap, a bare minimum until you can prove yourself, and again, it's all based on performance, I think we'll be better off.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. I want to mention one more time that the Baltimore Nighthawks will be hosting the Washington, D.C. Divas here in Baltimore City at Maryville High School at 7 p.m. kickoff under the bright lights of Saturday night. Coach, football is back, and we're going to be live on the field, Coach, that Saturday night, April 11th. 2009 at 7 p.m., Baltimore Nighthawks hosting the Washington, D.C. Divas. And I think it's going to be a tremendous game, Coach. And we're going to be live on the radio once again on www.ussportsradio.com.
And again, Coach, that means a great venue for people to come out and see some great football for a very nominal price. And I think they'll get their money's worth. I think the fans got their money's worth during the Pink Ribbon Bowl. Again, it's a great venue, great field. But even more, a family of four can come out, enjoy a great game, have some good food for a nice evening out on a Saturday evening, and just, especially with these economic times, you know, get the bang for the buck.
Hey, you're right, Coach. They kind of can indulge in themselves and lose themselves with a great night of football, Coach. And I'm challenging anyone who listens to our radio show, Nighthawks Radio, We Own the Night. If you come up to myself or Coach Coop and mention that you heard this week's show by mentioning what the topic of this week's show was and what we talked about, I'll give you two free tickets to the next home game, Coach. There, I said it, two free tickets to the next home game, which I'm going to pay for personally, Coach.
You are?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where are you going to be standing, Coach? I'm going to walk up to you.
no players, family, or coaches, staff, family accepted, Coach.
Well, wait a minute, you didn't have that disclaimer, but, hey, that's a great thing. And I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll even top that. I'll throw in two tickets myself. So we've got four potential tickets out there waiting for anybody who want to come out and have a great night. So that's a family of four. You got to have be able to come and do that, to be able to come in for a great venue, for a family of four, free tickets. Just thing you got to do is just mention that show. And if you got anybody more than four, guess what? They got to pay.
I know that's right, Coach. Remember, kids under five is free from 6 to 18. Coach, it's just $5, Coach. And 18 and over, it's $10 to come see the Baltimore Nighthawks, Coach. You can't beat it. A great price, a great time, a great city, and you have the Nighthawks. And guess who else you have there, Coach?
Me.
You have you, Coach. I got you, babe.
That's what I draw the line, Coach. You can stop singing right now.
Yeah, Coach. Well, remember, as always, we had a great time, and all opinions are valued here on the Nighthawks Radio. We on the Night Talk Show, Coach. Remember, there's no good opinion. There's no bad opinion. It's simply
your opinion.
Good night, and we'll see you next week.